Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Elizabeth Alfano, it is great to be back in the WGN Radio studios tonight. It was fun talking to Andrea, but I have some great guests in the house. Before I bring on my guests, I do want to say hi there to my producer. Hey, Tom.
Hey there, Elizabeth. How you doing?
I'm great. I love this nighttime hour, actually. When I tell people that I'm going to be on at 11 p.m., they're like, how do you do it? And I'm like, oh, no. This is the nighttime. This is when I connect with people. This is what I want to be here, actually. When people are at home, it's late at night. They're kind of curling up in their bed or their kids have gone to sleep and they're all quiet. And this is when I feel like I really connect. So this is a great time for me. What about our Queen of Soul? Can you believe it?
I really can't. It really... I feel like we knew it was coming. The family announced that she was gravely ill and doesn't make it any easier.
No, and even so, it's hard to process. You know, it's hard to believe. You see, when people say that, you say like, well, okay, I understand that. 76, you know, well, I can process that a little bit. But Aretha gone does not make sense.
Mm-hmm. One of the great American voices.
Oh, my gosh. Do you have a favorite song? I know we've been talking about that all day today at WGN, but I know. Come on, what is it?
I think they played it earlier, the Annie Lennox and Aretha song, because it just brings together my two great loves, you know, Euro pop and Aretha Franklin.
Dating ourselves with some Euro pop love. I love it. But let me introduce my guests here, because, you know, we were talking about Aretha Franklin. She had pancreatic cancer, as devastating as that is. And so health for all of us is such a big topic. And it's something I think we're all thinking about, like, how can I get better? And how can I keep my health in check? And what food should I eat? And what kind of exercise should I do? So I want to bring on my guests tonight, really informed guests on this particular subject. I have Dr. Carla Hightower here with me.
Hello.
Great to have you in the house.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
And thanks. I also have Johnny Morelli, otherwise known as Johnny Juicer.
Yes.
Great to have you with me, both of you. So I want to kind of dive right in, because I consider you both experts in completely different ways. So just to illustrate this, let me read Dr. Carla Hightower's resume, a really brief one here. She earned her medical degree at Northwestern University. She received a certificate of integrative health coaching at Duke. She received a certificate in plant-based nutrition at Cornell, and just to make matters 100% sure that she's quite smart, she got an MBA at the Kellogg Graduate School of Management. Are you ever tired of going to school?
No, I'm not.
You're a lifetime student, really.
That's true. But learning is what we do. And, you know, there's always something new to learn. So it's pretty cool.
So you've spent so much time studying, not just the plant-based process that you're now a lifestyle coach and wellness coach, but you've really spent your time studying medicine, whereas Johnny, you came to this kind of off the cuff.
Yeah, experiencing everything myself, doing everything myself.
So. And I want to get into your career. So obviously a doctor would have a certain trajectory, Carla, but I also want to hear about Johnny starting an Instagram career. So we'll be sure to get to that in this hour that we have together. But let me first get your backgrounds, really. So Carla, can I call you Carla, or should I call you doctor?
You can call me Carla.
Okay,
please.
Then I will do that. Carla, so why did you turn your focus to plant-based nutrition?
Oh, this was a journey. It really was not an instant decision. But what happened for me personally, I needed to use plant-based nutrition to be healthy myself. I was in my 40s, working my job as an anesthesiologist. My daughter was 12. And I could see my health declining. From the time I turned 40 to about 44, I was in trouble. I had abdominal pain, inflammation, joints were aching. I was having fatigue. And I had about 5 doctors and a slew of different prescription drugs that I was taking. My babysitter one day, she said, "What are you doing? she saw me taking all these pills, and she said, "I can't believe you, Lee, I can't believe this. You're a doctor." And I said, "Yeah, this is what doctors do," because my colleagues were sicker than I was.
Isn't that you know? So funny?
We were
that
all really in trouble.
It came to your attention through an innocuous comment from your babysitter.
Mm-hmm. And I also knew that I was on a different path than my mother, because in the 70s, my mother, she reversed her type 2 diabetes by going on about an 80% plant-based diet at the wow. time. And I didn't know, because I was a teenager, I didn't even know she had diabetes. I just knew that my mother came home and she said, "Hey, everybody, my doctor said I've got a problem. I need to change the way we eat. And I'm going for it." And she did, and she just blossomed over a period of weeks. You could see her change. But I didn't think about that until for decades. I just ignored that. I was like, she keeps leaving me voicemails telling me to eat more spinach and buy more kale. Why does she keep doing that? And then I realized she's on to something.
Isn't that interesting? What's interesting about your story, too, and then again, I do want to hear, of course, Johnny's story, is that you didn't come to this until, as you're saying, into your 40s.
Right. I did not learn this in my traditional career in medicine. It was just the opposite. I thought that everything could be treated with a pill.
Isn't
or
that
an injection?
It's just amazing that you can come to it later in life and then have a transformation. And so we're going to talk to you about that for sure. But I want Johnny to chime in here. So Johnny, how did you come to be a plant-based juicer?
It was really health. For most of my life, up until like 5 years ago, I had suffered from severe migraines. I had been diagnosed with IBS. I was lactose intolerant. I was overweight. Partying all the time, medication. I was just like in this downward spiral. And I happened to find a documentary that literally resonated with me and changed everything. So,
are you talking about sick, fat, sick, and nearly dead?
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Carla, have you seen that movie?
Yes.
Yes.
It's awesome.
It's funny that you mentioned that. We're going to take a little break here quickly and come back and talk about it in depth. But that's also how I started on this journey.
Wow.
Is fat, sick, and nearly dead. And I tried juicing right away. For those of you who may or may not have seen this movie, it's about an Australian man who's just in the same situation as Johnny Juicer and Dr. Carla Hightower here. AKA Carla. He's not feeling well. He's on the spiral with bad exercise, bad sleep, too much stress at work, pills, pills, pills. And he decides to go cold turkey juicing for 30 days. And all of the diseases he has, he gets rid of them and he's done with pills, which it's an amazing story. And it got me going and thinking like I should try juicing. But ultimately, I fell off that bandwagon pretty quickly. So we're going to take a quick break here, but I want to hear how you guys stay on your regime. I mean, Carla, you've turned your whole career around. You've left
yes.
anesthesiology and you've gone into wellness coaching. So quite an amazing story there. We're going to take a quick break and I'll be right back with Carla and Johnny. Welcome back, everybody. I have Johnny Juicer and Dr. Carla Hightower in the studio with me. We were talking about right before the break how all of us have found plant-based diets for one reason or another, but basically we weren't feeling very good. I wasn't either, and I watched that movie just like Johnny, you said you did, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, and I tried juicing, and I kind of fell off the bandwagon. I found it to be, I'm sorry to say, too much work.
Yeah, that's actually what it was for me, too, at the beginning. Like, when I found out how much work went into it, I was like, man. And I actually tried at the time doing a three-day juice cleanse, like, because I'm kind of an extremist. As soon as I saw the documentary, I went and bought the same juicer, like, the next day, and tried a juice cleanse the following week. And after doing it the first day, I was like, this ain't right. I went to Culver's and got a burger and french fries, and I kind of fell off the wagon for a while until obviously everything started getting worse, and then I tried just committing myself to doing it every day.
Yeah.
And that's when things really started changing.
And Carla, how about for you? How did you decide to go plant-based, and did you work it slowly into your regime, or was it one day to the next?
For me, it was one day to the next, because I had been on medication, seeing gastroenterologists. I knew I had to change. I had pneumonia, and then I had prediabetes. That's when I discovered I had prediabetes. And I knew. I worked in the operating room. We had patients getting amputations. blindness, coming for open heart surgery. And once I realized that I had that, I knew I had to do something. So I was scared, and I knew I had to take action.
And I think that's how it is for a lot of people. They get a wake-up call. They get some really bad news. They go to the doctor. They get test results, and they say, like, okay, I've got a decision to make, live or die. Basically, it really does come down to that. But was it difficult at all? So if you decided one day to the next, Carla, that, okay, I'm making this shift for my health, my family, my daughter, how did you do it?
Well, I actually don't recommend that people do that. I recommend that people do it step by step, because they can kind of feel uncomfortable and be bloated for a few days with all the fiber they're eating. But I don't even really remember that part. I just remember how great I felt, how much energy I started having in the morning. I used to have 3 alarm clocks to get out of bed and go practice anesthesiology to get to the hospital on time. And so now I can wake up without the alarm.
Wow.
So I've been doing this for 11 years. My energy is like, I feel better than when I felt in my 30s. And so when I had that kind of change, I just knew this is food as medicine. This really works.
And I love that concept. Mm-hmm. I've talked to other people about this before. I had Dr. Trevor, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name at the moment. He's the doctor of The Doctors, the TV show The Doctors, a really nice guy. And he was the one who kind of turned me on to that concept of food as medicine. And it is so much better than pills. I don't know, Johnny, you said you were also taking pills before you made the switch.
Yeah, I was taking stuff for my migraines. I was taking stuff for my IBS. It was just, yeah, it was a mess. Actually, I was taking migraine medication, but instead of the actual meds, I was taking Excedrin migraine, because that was more effective with the caffeine. And I mean, I was taking like 6-7 pills a day. It was...
Wow. And you're young.
I mean, I was in my 20s and that was happening.
And it's funny because, you know, when you say cardiac disease, I think, well, of course, food. You say diabetes. So cardiac disease coming from animal fats. Okay, that's a logical step for me. Sugar, diabetes, I can see that step. And I know there's also that step potentially from meat and dairy. But migraines, I don't think of diet and migraines being linked.
Yeah. The funny thing is, once I started really juicing, my migraines started getting better. When I got rid of the dairy and the animal products altogether, that's when my gut issues got better.
Right. So that makes a lot of sense to me. So, Johnny, explain what your regime is, because you are taking it to a different level, and that you juice how many days a week?
I juice every day. There's some days I do juice fasts, but for the most part, it's a staple in my diet because it's what started my whole journey altogether. So it's like kind of a mental thing too, where it's like, I need my juice every day. Like, so juice is always a foundation, whether it's 32 ounces a day, sometimes more, especially in the summer, because I have friends who I have gardens and we just juice all types of stuff. And just like today, I had nothing but juice, nothing but green juice.
Okay, so how many days out of each week do you fast with juice only?
I normally don't do that. Sometimes I'll do it like once a month. Like today I felt like I needed it after the weekend, so I did it. But for the most part, my diet is, for being raw, I eat mostly, I'm actually consuming mostly liquids and then fruit the rest of the day. So my day starts with a lot of water, a lot of juice, smoothies, and then fruit.
Okay, so you only eat raw food?
Yeah.
And obviously only plants?
Yes.
And sometimes only juice?
Yes.
And you live to tell. So you are how old, please?
I'm 36.
All right. So you have a lot of energy naturally because you're...
More than I ever had in my life without needing something to energize me, like a Monster or a Red Bull. I was always addicted to these caffeinated stimulants. So
we're going to get to just how do you maintain that kind of eating pattern, because, you know, for a lot of people that might seem like a huge leap. But Carla, what is your food like every day?
Well, I start with usually a whole grain, like oatmeal, and then I have greens at every meal. So I'll have a green smoothie, or I'll eat some raw. I eat almost all of my greens raw. So it's just easier and fresher, and you just get the vibrant antioxidants. You can tell the difference. So I'll either eat raw or make a smoothie, and I always eat berries. I'm trying to go for the colors, so you know, you want to get that full set of robust colors, the oranges, reds,
purple.
Yes. And then you've got to have some, for me, to have more energy and to keep going, I do eat starches, you know. So those sweet potatoes are like rock solid.
Sweet potatoes changed my life. Yeah. No, honestly, yeah. People, let's
There's
just
so
stop
much
here.
You can do.
Sweet potatoes changed my life. And sweet potatoes are great with everything. Sweet potatoes and avocados, sweet potatoes and black beans. Mm-hmm. No, I can make it happen with sweet potatoes. So you're juicing only, Johnny, and I'm basically sweet potatoes.
I juice sweet potatoes.
You do?
In the fall, I normally do like a pumpkin sweet potato mixture.
But how much juice are you going to get out of a sweet potato?
You can get a lot, actually, believe it or not.
And it doesn't mess up your juicer? Because it looks like that would be a disaster for the juicer itself.
No, it's not bad. It's almost like juicing a carrot. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as much liquid, but similar.
Okay, well, we're going to roll into break.
Okay.
But before we go to break, I want to share with you, Johnny, my very favorite juice that I developed and created myself, and it is this. And I juice once a week, and I only have no food. I just juice. So I do a juicing fast once a week, and
That's
it is
awesome.
The following, because it is so easy. Lemon, carrots, red pepper, cayenne pepper, because I like things spicy, so not everyone has to do that, and turmeric. Boom! It's great. I drink that all day.
Sounds
and
good.
And I get so much energy out of that.
So you just drink that alone all day?
All day.
Wow.
I do the one juice all day, my concoction, for me. I do it all day. With that, I got to go to break, but I'm telling you people, everybody should try it. It's wonderful. We're going to go to break, and then we'll be back. We are back. Thanks for being with me, folks. I'm Elizabeth Alfano here on Nightside. I'm with Dr. Carla Hightower and Johnny Juicer. We're talking about how all three of us actually have decided to go plant-based and work more greens and plants and juice into our lives. I've got a great text here from the 773 saying this person in the 1980s, they found that meditation helped them get over meat cravings, and they just focused on strengthening their body and their mind, and focusing on that meditation really helped them. So I wondered if either of you, Dr. Carla and Johnny, had any tips for people trying to go plant-based?
Well, definitely the lifestyle is the issue, and there are many factors besides just what we eat. So the caller who said that they had to, you know, to make some lifestyle changes, meditation is key. When I work with my clients, I teach them about spirituality, mindfulness, physical fitness, stress relief, sleep, all of these things, because nutrition is the centerpiece, but you want to put it together and look at your whole person. So definitely. And have a community. Have people who you can really count on to support you so that you're not doing this alone. That is absolutely fundamental. When you're out there on your own just using trial and error, you really feel stuck. And it's hard. It's hard to sustain it. But when you see other people, you can really, really succeed.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful tip. And of course, people can go to you, Carla, as well, right? Because you're a wellness coach. And so if people wanted to find you, how could they find you?
Well, I have a website. My website is livinghealthworks.com. And I provide integrative health coaching on an online group basis for people with diabetes. So I work with adults. And, I've been able to take people through a course. It's 8 weeks, 8 to 12 weeks. We work together and help people come off medications. And it's really effective just to be able to see people transform in such a short period of time, to have their energy back and be able to start feeling like they're functioning well. The swelling goes away, lose a little bit of weight, but just know that you have that peace of mind, and to see them kind of feel uplifted by their renewal of their stamina, and to see their doctors be able to take them off of medication. I don't do the medical part. I do the coaching, which is to give that support, accountability, and a path, a real strategy. Here's how we do it. You need someone to show you how.
And it all really does work together. So I found that when I switched my diet and I went to mostly plants, I was sleeping a lot better. And then when I was sleeping a lot better, I had more energy. And when I had more energy, I wanted to work out more. And when I wanted to work out more, I wanted to keep eating the stuff that would help me work out. So, you know, never do I leave the table now, even when I have vegan fasting, which I do a lot, actually. I never leave the table saying, like, oh my gosh, I have had too much food, this hurts. Which I used to have that feeling all the time with dairy and meat, and I just never have that anymore. Johnny, what about you?
Yeah, I talk about that all the time because I do health coaching as well, and the way I used to eat is, you know, you're eating a burger, you're eating a pizza, you're eating all these foods that fill your stomach but are nutritionally depleted.
Yes.
And that's where I feel that juicing comes in, is so powerful. You know, a 32-ounce juice is roughly between 12 and 15 servings of vegetables. How else can you consume that, you know? And using that as a tool to change your palate over time, to kick those, all that, you know, chemically engineered processed food that we eat, is, I think, a game changer.
Yes, and you do us a great service here, I think, by mentioning that, because when we say plant-based foods, what we really mean is whole plant foods. So there's a lot of, you know, vegan, I'll use the vegan word, the V word, there's a lot of vegan food that is processed. So that's not going to be that great for you either. Not to say that we all don't want a burger from time to time, and we all don't want, you know, a plant-based sausage from time to time. Beyond Meat is so good. But ultimately, you really want whole vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, you know, Carla had mentioned you have to have community. You can't do it alone. And Johnny, I see you in the gym. What's it like to have your gym peeps with you through this?
I still have like a really good friend of mine that I work out with, but I feel that since I've been in the gym with this lifestyle, like I used to go to the gym and never get results. Like I would always fluctuate through 5 and 10 pounds. This is before a plant-based diet. And I would take all these supplements to try to get big and try to get strong and try to get a six pack. And never got the results I wanted until I changed my diet, you know. And once I went plant-based, once I was juicing all the time, I mean, it's effortless now to keep the body I want, to keep the physique I want, and to have the energy every day. So, and people see that, you know. But I don't talk about it. I don't talk about it to nobody. I wear, like, plant-based shirts sometimes, and then people ask questions, you know. But for the most part, I don't really, like, go preaching, you got to do this or you got to do that. So, but everybody knows what I do pretty much at the gym.
Well, sure, because you have 220,000 followers on Instagram or something crazy. What's your Instagram number?
I think it's close to 250 now.
Yeah, okay.
Something like that.
I stand corrected. 250,000 people. So a lot of people come to you maybe through your Instagram account to get your coaching. Is that right?
A lot of people do, yeah. Or through my website. They go there or they go to my website, but...
So you coach people over the phone, or do they have to be with
phone,
you in person?
Skype. Well, most of the people I was doing was around my area, but once I move, I plan to do a lot more online coaching as well. So.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Wonderful. So we're talking about community, and Johnny's always in the gym. Did people ever make fun of you? And Carlo, you as well. Did you ever have people in your community who were bringing you down?
As far as this lifestyle?
Yes.
That's why I left. That's why I walked out of a job of 12 years. That's why I don't really affiliate with a lot of different friends that I used to. Yeah. Once it started changing my life and I was very passionate about the way this lifestyle made me feel, anything that was like negative around me, I just had to let go of. So
I love that. That's fascinating. So you didn't just change what you eat.
Changed everything.
You changed your entire life from
everything.
Top to bottom.
Everything.
Wow. Carla, was it that way for you? Did you find that you were hanging out less with certain people or people who didn't get the vision or didn't understand your goals and objectives?
I didn't find that. I just found that I needed a strategy in order to maintain just my own peace of mind. And so there's certain things that I've been able to see with clarity. If there are only a few people that find it extremely annoying, I find most people are curious. And so I had to wrap my head around that fact and not take it so personally, because it's you do get a lot of questions. And so I just decided, oh, you know, I'll either kind of switch the subject if I have to. We don't want to always talk about my food.
Right.
But,
yes. or do we? I don't know.
But for
kind
some,
of fun.
But then people start to realize, well, this is you, and they don't think it's abnormal anymore. So it's kind of strange at the beginning. But someone who knows you well realizes that's part of you, and then they aren't really that concerned about it. But it is something that you have to adapt with. You have to ease into socially.
Is there one window that you find people are most interested in? So the fact that you have a whole plant diet, or the fact that you no longer take meds, or the fact that you look outstanding for your age. I wish we could get a camera in here because you are aging backwards. I have a video series actually on my website called Aging Backwards, but really I'm going to have you on that series as well because you are just not aging. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. I'm 55 and I'm happy to
wow.
say that. I've been on plant-based, on whole food, plant-based, low-fat.
Look at his Instagram camera. She's looking at me, but go ahead and look at that Instagram camera from Johnny Juicer 55. Because she is 55.
Amazing.
That's what plant-based looks like, people.
That's
55.
Right.
It's Awesome.
So it's great because it gives you your control back, because you can go to the doctor and that doctor visit, knock on wood, is a social visit where they are not going to give you a prescription. That it's just you chat about your labs and your labs all look great. And that's what I want to do. And knock on wood, I can keep doing that 11 years and counting. I'm going to keep doing it. But if you looked at me on paper 12 years ago, I had everything wrong.
You would have been a lot older on paper.
Yeah.
Really, 11 years ago.
I had
ago.
A pulmonary doctor, I had a cardiologist, GI, because I had chest pain, abdominal pain, sinus problems, pneumonia, joints were hurting. Only thing was I went to the gym a lot, so I looked okay on the outside.
Interesting.
Inside, I was a wreck.
Interesting. We're going to head to break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about that, how you maybe can get off pills if you switch over to whole plant food diet. At least that's what we found. So, okay, folks, we're going to go to break, and then we'll be back. Hey, folks, I'm Elizabeth Alfano. Thanks for sticking with me. I've got Johnny Juicer and Dr. Carla Hightower in the house. So, okay, right before we went to break, we were talking about your lab tests, Carla, are so much better. So maybe we can talk a little bit about why it would be better to have food as medicine than actual pills. And Johnny, chime in too.
That's a great question, Elizabeth. The difference really between conventional medicine, taking those pharmaceutical drugs, is that those are great for any type of crisis. So there are times when you absolutely need it. You know, if you have a blood sugar of, say, 800, you need to be on insulin. You better go to the hospital and get that taken care of. So if you're in a crisis mode, that's when that conventional treatment excels. But for your day-to-day living, what you really need is good nutrition, because almost all of the chronic diseases are coming from the same thing. Our standard American diet, which is the SAD diet, causes inflammation. And we have these different problems like high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, arthritis, inflammatory bowel. But the thing about it is that those all have the same root cause. Conventional medicine is treating them and masking the symptoms. So we tend to mask symptoms and we tend to treat them like they're separate conditions, but really we're not getting anywhere. We're just covering it up. But if you want to get to the root cause, which is if it's nutrition, then you need to address the nutrition and the mm-hmm. lifestyle changes.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm not going to change my diet because my dad had heart disease and my mom has diabetes and everyone in my family's had rheumatoid arthritis, so I won't bother. But actually, we know that through plant-based diets, you can reverse your genetic makeup and you don't have to have these things.
Yeah, actually, I always talk about my, like, the newest part of my story is being able to inspire my mother. My mom had a heart attack back in 2011, and through my changes and through me shining my light, she was able to, like, kind of spark some interest, you know? So I'm like, why don't you start juicing? Why don't you start eating plant-based? And I go, just do it for a month and see how you feel. And she started juicing every day, and she was plant-based, and then sure enough, she had developed a habit. And long story short, this year she got off her sixth medication when they wanted to cut her chest open 3 years ago. So now she's plant-based, completely vegan, and she's reversed her heart disease. So, and looks probably better than she has in the last 15 years. So
I love that you mentioned this, because sometimes people will say to me, wow, you don't eat meat or dairy. Huh, that's really extreme.
Yeah.
And I say, actually, cutting open my chest for cardiac disease,
that's pretty extreme.
That strikes me as really extreme.
Yeah.
And then to recuperate from that, you would have to pump yourself with all these drugs and take off work, and you'd have huge scars. That is extreme. Getting rid of meat and dairy, yeah, that's just not hard.
Right.
And I actually didn't find it hard. I don't know if you guys had cravings or you hit obstacles, but I don't miss those things, and I'm not just giving that lip service. I do not miss them at all.
At all. Yeah, me neither.
Well, cravings are common for many people. When I work with individuals in my group program, they often have cravings for the first 3 weeks or so, but we see that as we eat a more healthy diet, those unprocessed whole foods are not the foods that you're going to crave, and so you start to give yourself a chance to overcome that food addiction. So the processed foods are designed to be addictive. And we just need to give ourselves about 2 to 3 months to get that out of our system, to kind of reset your brain and your taste buds, because you can change those things physiologically. You can actually change the way food tastes to your taste buds. So it's doable.
And that goes for sugar as well. So not just meat and dairy, but that goes for sugar and salt. You know, if you just give yourself a break from these things, I mean, I tend to really like salt, but if you just give yourself a break from these things, you can kind of retrain your palate.
Juice cleanse. That's why I feel juice cleanses are so powerful. You can do it for like 7 days and your palate kind of resets. And when you come off of a juice cleanse, you're not craving those, you know, chemically engineered foods that keep you addicted, get you sick, and then get hooked on the pills. So
the reason I haven't done a 7-day juice cleanse, because I think it's slightly daunting, I decided, okay, I'll just juice 1 day a week, and there I'll get 4 days a month, as opposed to going for a 3 to 5 or even 7 day juice cleanse.
Yeah, that's still amazing.
So I just do it once a month. Does it surprise you that I can keep that up?
No, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, anybody, I believe, in a plant-based lifestyle would do something like that. I think it's awesome. Do you juice every other day besides that, like just incorporating one, or no? You just do a 1 day juice cleanse.
Well, okay. So how I got to this is that I'm a little lazy, and that's how I ended up doing this. So because there is work to juicing,
yeah,
I don't juice just periodically throughout the week, because then I'd have to pull out the machine and I'd have to clean the machine and all this sort of stuff. So I just focus. Okay, this day I'm juicing. So now I'm prepared because I know what I'm going to juice, and then I'm pulling out the machine just once, and I'm cleaning the machine just once, and I juice, and I have all these bottles lined up, and then I clean the machine and I put it away. So yeah, it sets me up for 1 day of juicing.
That's good.
And I feel great. You'd think, okay, you're juicing, you're not going to be able to play tennis or go jogging, or I do all those things. I don't stop my day. It does not affect me in the least, except I reset and recenter, which I really like.
Yeah, get you grounded.
Gets me grounded. It's great that you say that. So, okay, we're talking about us, but what about your dog?
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the reason I'm on this show, because that's why the social media blew up.
He's so wonderful. So yeah. Noah is your dog. He's a little terrier, right?
He's a little Yorkie. I adopted him actually after I went vegan. So right after I went vegan, I saw Earthlings, and I was like, I gotta go adopt a dog. And he came into my life, and threw him in a video one day, and people enjoyed it, and the rest is history.
So. He's so fantastic, and he's vegan, which is just incredible to me.
Yeah.
But dogs are like people in that they're omnivores. They don't have to eat meat.
Right.
That's amazing. Well, it's been great to have both of you here. This goes so quickly. We didn't even get to touch on one of my very favorite topics, which is, I don't know if either of you have seen the movie Eating You Alive, but they talk about why doctors aren't helping people through this more regularly.
Well,
yes,
because there's no money in telling somebody that celery juice will heal your gut, but a pharmaceutical drug, you know.
So there's a conspiracy theory afoot, I think. No, it's got some legs. I'll give you that. It's got some legs. So, Johnny, if people did want to find you, obviously there's Instagram. Give us your handle.
Well, my Instagram is at Johnny_juicer. My website's johnnyjuicer.com. And pretty much there you can find everything. I have a YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff.
Okay, so if people want to get inspiration about juicing, fantastic. But also if they want to get some coaching, either in the gym or with their food source or their juicing regime, they can find you there.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And Dr. Carla Hightower, how can we find you if anybody wants to follow your wellness coaching series?
Yes. I have an online group health coaching program for diabetes. And so, you know, we do exactly that. We go through 8 weeks and, you know, make those transformations. And my website is livinghealthworks.com.
Wonderful. Okay, so I'm going to go to livinghealthworks.com because I know that I can learn a lot from you. And Johnny, I think you're heading out to LA, so I might see you
next
there
week.
At some point.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But don't be deterred, folks, because you're going to also coach people online. So even if you're moving to LA, it doesn't mean you're far away from us.
Yeah.
It's been wonderful to have you both. Thank you both for sharing your stories with me. I super appreciate it.
Thank you. This is
Thank
awesome.
You.
I'm Elizabeth Alfano. We're going to hit break, and then I'll be right back. Everybody, I'm Elizabeth Alfano. Welcome back to the second hour of Nightside. So I'm now here with plant-based chef Kevin Shooter and the owner of Kitchen 17, Jenny Plasterer. You guys, thanks for being in the studio.
Not a problem.
A pleasure.
Lovely to have you here. So Kitchen 17, I have had your food before. In fact, I've brought you to the WGN studios before.
Which is a wonderful place to be, and thank you for that.
Oh, it's thrilling to have you. So last time, I shared your deep dish vegan cheese or nut cheese pizza with Andrea Darlis, and we just like barely had a radio show because all we could do was eat.
Well, that's a good problem to have. I feel very happy to hear that was a problem.
So she's hooked now. She's not plant-based, but she was certainly hooked on your pizza. And I know, Jenny, you've brought in a couple things to the studio. Tell me what you've got here.
So I brought in our buffalo cauliflower wings, which is probably our most popular item at the restaurant. People come in and order like four or five of them in one go, and we hand bread them like to order, which so occasionally it's like, oh god, that many orders, all right, I'll be here for a bit. But it's also just a blast to have people really enjoy something you're making for them. So there's that. There's our house-made ranch. There's our house-made barbecue, which we do with fresh chipotles, and we also brought in some seitan, which we bread and fry. It's the same seitan we use on our probably our most popular item for brunch, which is the chicken and waffles.
Oh my gosh. So I've never had cauliflower wings before. And I know lots of plant-based folks talk about it, but I've never had that before. It's so good, particularly the barbecue sauce.
Oh, thank you.
And tell me about your seitan, because I think you make that in-house.
That we do. So it's an interesting process getting bulk wheat gluten, but we do it, and we knead it. That's a very important process in making seitan. So it takes some veggie broth, it takes some vital wheat gluten, it takes some spices, and you knead it, and it gets this really lovely texture. And there's a lot of ways to make it. We do a couple different ones. We bake it into rounds, but this particular seitan you're trying right now has been it's been boiled in broth for about an hour. And it gets a really nice, like, soft, juicy texture, as long as you put enough seasoning in the broth. Otherwise, you will be sad, and it will have no flavor.
So now, just to clarify, the seitan is actually all the protein, right? So the bulk of the wheat that is the protein. So for anybody who says, like, oh my gosh, I'm a plant-based diet, where would I get my protein? Seitan's a great way.
It's a wonderful way, it's interesting because you can make vital wheat gluten just from normal flour. It's a pain. Don't do it. Just buy the vital wheat gluten.
That is not on my agenda this weekend. I will not be doing that.
Reasonable. But yeah, you can basically wash away everything else and just have the protein of it there, which has a completely different texture than your average flour. So that's cool.
Well, these are super yummy. So I just tried the seitan as well. So super yummy. And now I'm about to go dive in headfirst to my next thing. Kevin, tell me what you brought in the studio.
Well, I made a vegan blue cheese that's actually cashew-based, and I make it in much the same way actual blue cheese is made, where I have the Roquefort bacterium and actually inoculated the cheese with it, and that's why it's so kind of bluish-greenish on the outside. It's the same exact cheese-making process that you use for real blue cheese, only we're using nut milk instead of dairy.
Oh my gosh. So I'm going to put this on my Instagram page and also my Facebook page. So anybody who wants to see what he's talking about, this looks exactly like blue cheese.
It's pretty much blue cheese. I mean, it's just not made with dairy, so... I don't hesitate to call it blue cheese.
It is amazing. And I actually talked to Miyoko. You guys probably know her of Miyoko's cheese. And she was telling me that plant-based cheese or nut cheese is up 30%.
Yeah. She's a friend of mine, and those are actually her knives right there.
They look like Miyoko's knives, actually.
They are.
Look at
these
little Miyoko knives.
It seemed very appropriate to bring them in.
I see it now. It says Miyoko's Kitchen. How great
is
that?
That's right.
She's so wonderful. I love her. She's going to be on my podcast. I have a podcast here on this radio station called Awesome Vegans, and she's going to be on my podcast come October. She'll be coming to the lovely city of... Yeah, she'll be in Chicago.
Cool.
She'll be here, which will be great to have her in town.
She was just in town, and we actually had a... kind of big dinner. She asked if I was doing any pop-ups, because I do these pop-up dinners. And I wasn't at the time, but just for her, you know, I kind of figured, okay, I kind of have to do it. She's sort of the queen.
She is.
We actually invited pretty much all the Chicago vegan business owners and chefs and people who kind of contribute to that field, and just kind of had a big potluck/dinner. There was wine. it went a little bit late, but it was really fun to connect with a lot of people.
Oh, that just sounds wonderful. Well, I always love it when she's in town. That's so great. Well, okay, sadly, we're going to quickly run to break here. And then when we come back, I want to talk to you both about your endeavor. So Kitchen 17, what's kind of new on the radar for you? You've had some ownership changes, et cetera. And then Fancy Plants Catering. I want to see how people can hop onto your Eat Feastly pop-ups, because you do those all over town, Kevin.
That so I do.
I know you've got a couple coming up, and you've got some cooking classes. So we're going to get right back to the details after break. Hey, folks, we are back. I'm Elizabeth Alfano, and I have Kevin Shooter and Jenny Plasterer in the house. Jenny, of course, owns Kitchen 17 right on Broadway in Belmont, give or take. And Kevin is the owner of Fancy Plants Catering. So if you have a business, fancyplantscatering.com, people, that isn't open to the public, then how are you doing all this cooking that everyone is always saying on Facebook, I was just eating what Kevin had for me?
Well, it started out, I'm using Feastly, which is a company that started in San Francisco. Think of it as like the Lyft or the Airbnb of private dining. And they were a big deal out there, and I was working with them for a while. But then I moved to Chicago, where it didn't really exist. They're not officially out here. It's not officially supported. But for a while, I had a big two-story house in Humboldt Park where, you know, there was a big table in the downstairs in the kitchen where you could seat about 20 people, just one big long table. So I was initially doing it out of my house, these private dinners. And since then, I met Jenny, and we started collaborating on some different things. We did a New Year's dinner. We did a Valentine's dinner. I helped with the brunch. And the old Kitchen 17 space was just sitting there, and they still had time on lease. So we're actually utilizing that right now. So all the dinners are happening right around the corner from Kitchen 17 in our old space. And we actually just met with the landlord today, and we're going to take over the space and turn it into a 100% vegan cafe. Which our tentative name for it right now is Wonderland Cafe.
Fantastic! When is this going to take place?
Probably. We actually have a trip coming up where we're flying out to Big Sur to cook a full vegan meal for about, well, I should say six vegan meals for about 250 people.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, yes. Gene Bauer will be there, and director of Cowspiracy. And right once we get back from that in early October, I think, is the opening time.
So Kip Anderson and Gene Bauer are going to be
there. That is correct. You
know
that.
Wow, and of course I do. And what is the event that's going on in Big Sur?
It's at Esalen Institute, which is like a 70-year-old kind of institution. It's wellness and meditation. And as it is, they cook a lot of meat there. And we are going to, for the first time in history, transform it into 100% vegan for a good 3 days.
Oh, I love that. When is this taking? I'm taking notes, everybody. I hope you guys are too. When is this taking place?
End of September. Oh, and then we're going to have a little extra fun in San Francisco. I'd love to take Jenny and our good friend Thomas to Millennium Restaurant, where I trained for a couple of years. And Shizen and my friend Philip Gelb cooked some dinners out there. So we're going to, you know, be tourists and, you know, ride bikes and walk the city and eat some good food.
So I love this. As two entrepreneurs who are getting ready to start Wonderland Cafe, you guys are pretty chill.
Yeah.
We like to have fun. We like to experience all the things. And that's the whole idea, is we're lucky enough to really enjoy working with each other. So
it's fantastic. Yeah. So I think we were talking a little bit before that Kitchen 17 had some ownership changes. And then, of course, in doing so, you took on ownership 100%. Is that right, Jenny?
That indeed. For the first couple of years, an acquaintance and a friend, and then we were doing 50-50, and ultimately he decided that he wanted to do other things with his time, and we figured that out between us, and it's been just me for the last, I was completely shocked to find recently, 1 year. I was like, wow, you
snuck up on you.
Really did. I had this whole list of things I was going to do, and I accomplished a third of them. So
story of my life.
Right. And
I know it well.
Yeah, it's amazing how time goes, but accomplished some things, and, in particular, I would say it's been a blast, and it's been really lovely figuring out what growth looks like for us. And you know, we expanded from the little space, and it's 3-4 times bigger in the front. But even the kitchen in the old spa is pretty small. So this one has a huge amount of prep space, and figuring out how to optimize that has been a wonderful, challenging time. But we're there. We're getting there.
Well, I think it's interesting that you guys are working together. So obviously you're pals and you get along really great. But also, so when there's this ownership change, you brought on not only yourself as full owner, but also Kevin as a chef, I think. Is that right?
You know, I actually approached her when I heard about the ownership change. You know, I asked myself, like, well, who's running this place? And I wrote to Jenny.
Who's running this place?
Exactly. And I met her and was, like, very charmed and very impressed by what she was taking on. I think initially we had some idea of, like, hey, I'm going to contribute to a menu and do these different things. But really, I just wanted to be supportive and let Jenny do her own thing. And it's pretty much her running the show. Like, I like playing support. You know, if someone can't make it into work, I live close, so I can come in and help out. And I helped out with brunch. And we kind of have a constant back and forth. I just did a lot of catering last week. There was a 200-person wedding, which Jenny came and helped out with. But, you know, I utilized her kitchen and the walk-in space for that. So we're constantly kind of supporting each other in various ways, even though, you know, our styles of food are different.
Yeah, so it seems like there's a lot of synergy there. But you mm-hmm. hit on the point that I was about to make, which is the menu at Kitchen 17 is pretty much comfort food with no meat or dairy. Would you agree?
That it is.
Okay. So, but for Kevin, your style of cooking is more fine dining.
Yeah, fine dining-ish or special occasion food.
Special occasion food. That's
yeah,
a great
special
phrase.
Occasion
special
food.
Occasion food. But you guys really gel together, even though there's these different styles in cooking.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you know, maybe I'll cook some fancy 5-course dinner. And then, you know, I'll go back to Kitchen 17 and offer them some food. Like, hey, here's a mezzaluna pasta stuffed with eggplant and almond ricotta. Mm. And they'll say, oh, my God, and, like, scarf it down. And meanwhile, they'll be like, hey, we accidentally made an extra pizza. And that's honestly what I want to eat at the end of the night. I mean, I think we both appreciate food. Jenny's never said no to anything I've fed her.
We're food nerds.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
huge food nerds.
Amen.
And and that's the fun of it. And I can't remember if it was Valentine's Day or New Year's where it was Kevin put together a delightful, extremely luxurious, fancy multi-course meal, and we finished the night by eating hot dogs together. Vegan
that
hot dogs,
Valentine's.
But
yeah.
It was a wonderful little moment where I was thinking, God, this is why we're friends.
I love this. You know, yeah. I had the vice president and the founder of Upton's on my podcast. I have a podcast
oh,
on
yeah,
the show
yeah.
called Awesome Vegans.
I love them.
And I love them. Of course, who doesn't love them? And they have Upton's Break Room. And mm-hmm. so Nicole, the vice president, was commenting that, you know, people always say, ooh, you have a vegan restaurant or plant-based restaurant. That must be for this type of person. And she says, actually, that's not true. If you walk into the Upton's Break Room, and this perhaps is the same with Kitchen 17, it's old, it's young, it's Asian, it's Mexican, it's African-American, it's white, it's male, it's female, it's, you know, fitness gurus, it's not fitness gurus. I mean, it's you can't pinpoint it. So I'm wondering what sort of person eats at Kitchen 17?
I think that's one of the best things about it. It's extremely diverse. It's, I mean, We get people from all walks of life. We get tourists. We get people from so many different places and so many different lifestyles. And that makes it really fun to be in the front and talking to people. But also, it makes it really amazing to think about the fact that veganism and plant-based foods, animal rights, just
the environment.
People, the environment.
The list is
health,
long.
Everyone. It's there's this wonderful feeling of fusion. Like, we're all sort of doing the same thing. We have our own reasons. There's no judgment. It's very welcoming. And there's people just talking to strangers in the front room because we have something in common. And it's one of the most lovely things I've ever seen.
I have to say, being vegan for me is very much, I'm sort of dating myself here. Do you guys remember the TV show Cheers?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And Norm would walk in and everyone would go, Norm! Mm. And I feel that way every time I walk into a vegan restaurant, that I immediately have friends even though I don't know anybody.
Absolutely. And it's... I when I went vegan, I was pretty young and I lived in the middle of nowhere in Indiana. So when I finally got to Chicago, I was like, oh, wow, my people.
Don't you love that feeling? We're going to head to break really fast on that. I want to learn how both of you decide to come from Chicago because neither of you are really from here.
That's right.
So I'll get the personal story when we're back. I'm Elizabeth Alfano. Thanks for sticking with me tonight. This is Nightside, and it is WGN Radio. Okay, in the studio with me, Kevin Shooter and Jenny Plasterer. So right before we went to break, I said to you guys, I want to know how you both landed in Chicago, because neither of you are from here.
So I was originally born in a small village in Wisconsin, Ephraim up in Door County. And I spent a little bit of time in Minneapolis, but then I moved to San Francisco with the explicit goal of working at Millennium Restaurant and becoming a vegan chef. So I spent about, I'd say, 11, 12 years living out there. And eventually I just sort of, I felt like there wasn't really much of a future for me out there. I mean, you know, you have to, I mean, rent for a single place is like $3,500.
Oh, gosh.
And I just kind of... yeah, felt like moving on. I wanted to start a new chapter in my life, and my family is near here, and Chicago just seemed like a great opportunity.
What was interesting is that you knew early on that you wanted to be a vegan chef. Not that you wanted to be a chef, but that you wanted to be a vegan chef.
Correct. Yeah.
And how did you know that? What age were you at that point, and how did you know that?
I believe I was 24, and I originally got into it because I was studying climate change and environmentalism a lot, just kind of on my own time. And I thought, hey, I love cooking. I should probably do something meaningful with my life. And so, you know, this is a goal that I think I have and that I want to pursue. So I actually got into it through environmentalism. A lot of people get into it because of animal welfare or health or something like that. And I kind of came at it through the side door, I'd say.
But a lot of people notice it for the environment as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's becoming more and more topical for people. It's something in the front of their mind all the time now is the environment. Do you see that?
Yeah, most certainly. I think the reasons people get into veganism, it's kind of becoming more diverse. You know, it's not just hippies anymore. You know, I mean... models and athletes and actors and actresses and Bono and like and, politicians
yeah,
and all
Booker,
these people are getting into it for different reasons, and it's becoming, you know, a bit more of a trend, and a trend that I very much welcome.
So Jenny, how did you land in Chicago?
Well, I have a theory that everyone should live in
Chicago.
Also a good idea. I really like it. So yes, everyone should live in Chicago. Everyone should also take out a moment to live in the country, live in a town, and live in a city, and probably abroad as well. Just to get all that
to round it out.
Yeah. Be a well-rounded person. Always good to try, at least. But I grew up in the middle of a nature preserve.
Ooh.
It was wonderful, and I miss it sometimes, but I thought it would be a really lovely experience to try the city. I'd already gotten town out of my system. I'd gotten country, not out of my system, but I figured I could put it on pause for a second. And this is the closest city to my hometown in Huntington, Indiana. And it's nice to be close enough to drive up and see my parents every so often. Down. I have so many people who want to smack me for saying up. So Chicago has been very interesting. I thought it might be. There's always more and more interesting things going on. And just getting to go to a place where you can go and buy 25 different types of vegan cheeses in a grocery store is
amazing.
Really something.
Yeah, incredible. How long have you been here? How many years?
It's 4.5 now.
And how have you both seen, you can chime in as well, Kevin, how have you seen the dining scene change? So 4.5 years ago, there wasn't even Feastly.com, so nobody was doing pop-ups. So how have you seen things change? And there also weren't as many vegan options. So things have shifted quite a bit, but is it more competitive? Is it trickier? Like, what's the business situation like for people trying to be entrepreneurs in restaurants?
I think Chicago's so big that, you know, I've given my recipes away to people, and, you know, maybe they're a 40-minute drive away. I don't care if they use the recipes. Like, I pretty much open source anything that I know, any recipe that I have. You know, I want to share it. And, you know, I mean, I don't think it's going to, like, harm someone's bottom line if someone else knows how to cook some of your recipes, because you're on the other side of town. So I think it was very difficult for me moving here, just because the idea of me cooking out of my house, and I don't have a restaurant, and I'm cooking fancier vegan food where, you know, people are kind of used to, like, $10 sandwiches and stuff like that. It took quite a while to gain some traction. And now things are going really well.
I see you on Facebook. You're busier than ever.
I am, yeah. Well, and it's not just an illusion. I actually am busy. I'm not just, like, putting pictures out there.
It's not your Facebook self. It's actually your real self is busy?
Yes, yes.
Well, I think you have a bunch of things coming up because you teach classes as well as you have your pop-ups. What's on your calendar?
This Saturday, I'm doing a French dinner that I believe just sold out, so I'm not even going to mention that. But this Sunday, actually, I'm doing a vegan cheesemaking class where, you know, someone can learn to make a ricotta, mozzarella, an almond feta, cashew cream cheese, and a parmesan. And they get a recipe book, like, showing them how to make everything. We make it together. And we use the cheeses that we actually made to have a nice lunch. Guess where? Kitchen 17. We go around the corner.
Ta-da!
And they're going to make wonderful pizzas for us. And, yeah, and people get to take home the vegan mozzarella that we make as well. So this Sunday, I'd suggest going to Kitchen 17 early for brunch and then coming over at noon for the cooking class. And then afterwards, we get to eat pizza, which I treat everyone to.
Wow, so, that is a treat. So hold on, how do we sign up for this?
Oh, you can go at fancyplantscatering.com, and I have all the different events listed. The following Wednesday, there's an Italian dinner. The Saturday following, I'm doing a private dinner in Winnetka. The following Wednesday is a Greek kind of family-style feast. And so, yeah, on the website, it has all the information, wedding, catering, the works.
Wow, I love it. I was talking to someone today who is the founder, actually, of the National Vegetarian Museum, which, hey, is here in Chicago. She was saying that now there are 50 vegan restaurants in Chicago. Does that sound right to you guys? Sounds high, no?
It sounds high.
I would say that she is completely correct and that there are 50 restaurants that try hard to cater to vegans, which is really monumental. All vegan, no. But folks with vegan menus who actually, if you ask them questions, understand and can answer well and have more than just two or three options, but actually a full array, I think that's probably true.
Well, what's amazing to me is I was in Oak Park the other day, and I went to a restaurant sort of on Main Street there, and I didn't expect anything. I hadn't researched anything to find plant-based foods. I just sort of went in. I knew I was hungry. I figured, okay, fine, no big deal. I'll find some salad somewhere. And I said to the waitress, I'm vegan, so point me in the right direction of no dairy, no meat. What can you do on the menu? And she's like, hold on, I'll get you the vegan menu. And I was like, what? It just seems like so quickly things have changed.
I agree. It's changed a lot. I think some of the faux meat things that are coming out, like the Beyond Burger and Impossible Burger and the Beyond Sausages and all that
Beyond
stuff.
Beyond Egg.
Just Egg is coming out.
I'm excited.
I cannot wait.
I've been twitching and thinking about it more than anyone should think about a not quite egg product, but oh my goodness, excited.
And it's made from mung bean, I think.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, freak me out, people. I cannot wait. Bring it, bring it.
I used to cater for them when I lived out there, so I got to try it a couple years ago, and even then it was amazing. Like, apparently they've improved on it, so I'm curious to try it out again.
So that's Josh Tetrick that you're talking about, who has Just in San Francisco, and his partner, a lot of people don't know this, his original business partner, and I still believe that he's a partner in kind of some sort, is Josh Balk, who's the vice president of Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States. And he's been on my podcast here on WGN, which is Awesome Vegan. So he had just, you know, come from San Francisco when he then came to LA and did my podcast. Mm-hmm. And he had just tried the eggs, and they aren't commercially ready yet, but he had been testing them with Josh Tetrick, and he said they're off the charts. So I'm just ready to roll whenever I get them.
It's really good. We actually hope to get it very soon and perhaps be the first place in Chicago to feature it.
Oh, how fun would that be? Oh,
I my think it'd gosh. Be fun.
So that would be exciting.
That would change the brunch at Kinston 17.
It
oh, my
would.
Word.
More eggs. More not eggs.
That's right. More not eggs. Okay, we're going to head to break, and then we'll be right back with Jenny Plasterer and Kevin Shooter. Shooter and Jenny Plasterer, thanks for being with me here tonight on Nightside. Great to have
Not
you in the
problem.
Studio.
Happy to be here.
I would like to pick both of your brains about tips. So, okay, obviously you've both been cooking and around food forever, but for a lot of people, their idea of food is the app. And they've got the app and it gets delivered and that's how they function. And that makes sense to me because gosh, who's got time? Cooking can take a lot of time. So what are some of your tips for people getting comfortable in their own kitchen to do some of their own cooking?
I think enjoying it is probably one of the most important things you can do. You know, if it's such a chore, you're not going to be very inspired to do it. And to make it social as well. Like, if you have a friend to cook with, then it's not just you in the kitchen. You can actually have fun and spend quality time cooking together. I think one thing that's really important is to look into different cultures and the history they have of vegetarian and vegan cooking. Because every culture has it. Like, you know, Indian food, Chinese food, Italian, Greek, like to find the vegetarian and vegan past that they've already developed and, you know, take that opportunity to explore the food and of a different culture and enjoy the culture itself while getting together with friends and keeping it simple. It doesn't need to be a very complicated, multi-layered mock meat kind of thing. A lot of times beans and rice and some simple vegetables are the cornerstone of, like, nearly every cuisine around the world.
Avocados, avocados, avocados,
yeah,
avocados.
Yeah.
Well, what I find is that, first of all, I love to chop vegetables because that is my kind of meditation. I find it extremely relaxing and it really de-stresses me from a long day. So that helps me kind of bridge the gap from stressful day to, okay, now I've got my home life that I'm entering into. So I love to chop vegetables. And the way that I keep cooking from being a chore is that I never follow a recipe. And sure, that means sometimes things don't work out, does not go my way, but if I have to measure everything down to the teaspoon and sometimes the quarter teaspoon, you know, I just don't want to do that. I want to have a sense for the food and I want to touch it and I'll pick up the salt with my hands and I'll throw it in and I'll have a pinch here and a pinch there. And then it's not a job. But if I have to follow a recipe, then it starts to feel like a job.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes I follow recipes very explicitly because it might be something that's new to me and I want to know, you know, what the intended experience is. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to rely on your senses. You know, does it need more acidity, sweetness, salt? Like, and taste is a very subjective thing. You know, what's
right.
Too salty for me might not be salty enough for you. So you need to just taste it and use your own judgment and make it yours. You know, I think a recipe is just kind of like a guidebook. You know, it's a rough map, but you still need to look with your own eyes and you need to taste things with you know, your own mouth. So
yes, I think recipes are great for just spawning ideas. You know, yeah. It's a way for you to get creative and then from there you take it to the next level. I don't know. Do you have any tips for us going into the kitchen, Jenny?
I think that it can seem really intimidating to go into vegan cooking if you've spent a lot of time cooking meat. But honestly, the foundations are sort of the same. A dish might taste similar simply because of the spices. I think people attribute more flavor to meat than it has.
Because so much of meat is already flavored.
Oh, absolutely.
With spices, yeah.
So once you start to understand what spices and what flavors they have and how they combine, it becomes a lot easier. And I think there's also so many misconceptions about if you go vegan, you have to buy this expensive mock meat and you have to put this and that in. But there are so many fantastic recipes that are vegetable based. And there's also just so many fun, easy, cheap recipes that don't rely on really spending much money and not even any fancy skills, just like playing around in the kitchen, which I think what you were talking about, just throwing things in and trying it, that's the way to go. Like, don't get your expectations too high or too low. Have fun. If you don't like it, change it a bit.
And start easy. Pasta.
Yeah.
Pasta, people. That's
pasta,
easy.
Add some things. If you don't like it, add something else.
Easy enough, right? It's not do or die. So I'm just curious. I have on my podcast, I have this list that I like of questions that I like to ask people as they exit the interview. So these are meant to be one word answers, but of course you can take a little longer if you want to, but it's meant to be just quick, off the cuff, the first thing that comes to mind. Okay, you guys, what item am I always going to find in your fridge?
Miso.
Love it.
Soy sauce.
Ooh, so we're on the savory side here with you guys. Okay, what is your favorite snack? It can be healthy, it can be junk food, either way.
Watermelon.
Popcorn.
You guys really are such a pal team here.
Watermelon popcorn, that's
our
favorite.
Of course, well, there's no other way to go.
When we're hanging out, you know.
So we know what we're doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
We discovered it here, people. Watermelon popcorn. Okay, what is your go-to meal? You've come home, it's a long day, you're exhausted, but you know every time you make this meal, it's simple, it's easy, it's fast, it's never fail.
Pasta.
Chana masala.
Chana masala is fast and easy.
Oh, it's easy. It's easy. It might not be that fast, but you turn that heat up a little bit higher than anyone would advise. You get some you get some tomato paste. You get some chickpeas. You're fine. You just got to go for it.
It's funny.
It's the best.
I've actually never made chana masala, so I'm gonna. Somehow in my head, I consider it like a tricky recipe, but I guess you guys are saying no.
It's so simple and delightful and. Oh, onions.
Yes, right. Well, onions change everything. Sauteed onions and you really have a dish with whatever you do.
When you go to Indian groceries, they have these like ready-to-go spice boxes.
Oh.
They're incredibly good. So when I go traveling to like my parents where everything is meat everything, I'll bring like a few of those. And so even if I'm making like a tofu scramble kind of thing or just, you know, straight up Indian food, it's like just add the spice and... You know, it's like a dollar for a box, and you can make like 20 meals out of it.
Yeah, well, that's so
that's
handy.
That's the quick chana masala, I think, is the cheating method.
I'm all about cheating. Oh, yeah. No shame in this game, people.
And to be fair, anything that involves tamarind, it's not that it takes less time, it's that it feels like it does because it makes you so happy.
I love that. That's great. Okay, you guys, one more question for you. And this one's really a longer answer kind of question. What are your predictions for the future? And it can be in the veganism plant-based space, or it could be in the entrepreneurial space, or it can be in the dining scene in Chicago space, whatever you want. And you can determine the length of time. It can be 1 year, 10 years, 2 months. What are your predictions for the future?
More people eating plant-based diets, maybe not because they've gone vegan, but because they're more open to it, because the community gets more and more welcoming, and because products become more and more accessible, and because there are an ever-increasing amount of places where people could go with people who are willing to talk and advise them and also just be nice to them. Sometimes that counts for a lot.
It does count for a lot. I would agree with that. Kevin, what about you?
I think something a lot of people, you know, people are always trying to convince people, oh, you should go vegan for the environment, for animals, for your health. I think a lot of people are going to become more and more vegan, not because of any choice they've made. It's going to systemically happen.
Oh,
like you talked about Hampton Creek, you know, and they have that just mayo. That's in school lunches across the country now. that's used in other products. And the vegan egg, you know, is going to become used in so many products because it's going to become cheaper. It's going to become more economical, whereas using actual eggs becomes less and less reasonable. You know, if you go into Walgreens or 7-Eleven or something, you look at a candy bar, you see like milk powder and whey and all these things in it. And I think, you know, the reason that's in there is because it's byproducts from the dairy. And so it just makes its way into there because of a business decision.
Systemically, and that's going to change.
I think people are going to become more and more vegan without even trying. Without even making that decision. I think other people will make it as well, but...
You heard it here first, folks. Okay, Kevin Shooter and Jenny Plasterer, thanks so much for being here. There are a gazillion vegan events and cooking classes that you can go to, so be sure to hit up Fancy Pants Catering.
Plants.
What?
FancyPlantsCatering.com.
FancyPlantsCatering.com. And of course, stroll on over to Kitchen 17. I'm Elizabeth Alfano. It has been great to be with you tonight. Thanks for staying with me, everybody. My podcast is right here on WGN called Awesome Vegans. Have a great night.